This morning, I want you to begin to prepare yourself and be ready for greater things. Greater things are about to happen in this place, in you, on this mountain. It's not just limited to us. Greater things are about to be unleashed on Sand Mountain. Amen? John 14, 11 through 14. It says, "Believe me that I am the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly," or "truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, it says there, "You shall do the works that he does, and greater works." So let me begin this morning just by setting up greater. Where does greater come from? Why will we be able to do greater things? John 4:4 tells us, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he than that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And John, 1 John 5:9 tells us, "If we receive witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which has testified of the Son." So we can know that greater is going to happen because he is greater. He's greater than anything that you will face in this world, in the situations that you're going through. He's greater. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The words of Jesus in John 14 bear directly on your life and our life together in these exciting days that are coming. How many agree with me on that? I mean, it's so much. It has such a bearing in our lives. We have to carry on the works of Jesus. In the first part of John 12, it's, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." There's two observations in this that I see. One is, the promise is not made to the apostles alone, but to all who believe. What's it say? Whoever believes. Second is, this is a promise that we will do Jesus' works. It's not even to the point in the verse that it says that we will do greater works. So it's a promise that we will do his works. It is a promise to all believers. All believers. You, me, anyone who believes. So there's no exclusion here if you're a Christian. You're not excluded in this. You shouldn't think, "Oh, it's for pastors. You know, it's for the veteran Christian. You know, the superstar Christian. The highly spiritual, mature Christian. The professional Christian." No, not me. I'm not saying I'm a professional Christian. No, missionaries, evangelists, you know, elders. Excuse me. It's for everyone, whoever believes, pure and simple, will do the works that I do. Now, we've seen the exact phrase, "whoever believes in me." In John 6:35, "Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Whoever believes in me, out of the heart will flow rivers of living water." In John 7, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall not live." In John 11:25, "Whoever believes in me will not remain in darkness." In John 12:46. In other words, this is normal Christianity. This means that to be a Christian, believing on Jesus is what unites you to him. So when I say whoever believes in Jesus will do this or that, it's describing the normal Christian life. That should be normal. But you know, we've come to a place so many times where we get caught up in our life and we're not doing the things that Jesus is calling us to do. It's so easy to do, but greater things are about to be released. Greater things are about to happen here. Now, we create problems for ourselves immediately when we begin to think, okay, the miracles that Jesus did. At this point in the Gospel of John, he has turned water into wine. In John 2, he has read the heart of the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, exposed to her what her thoughts were. He has healed the official son in John 4:46, healed the crippled man that was crippled for 38 years. He has fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He walked on water. He healed the blind man. He raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days of the grave in John 11. Those are all pretty amazing things. And so we immediately go, oh, I can't do that. You know, as far as I know to this day, I've yet to hear of anybody walking on water or feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I've heard of people, you know, being raised from the dead before. But don't get discouraged by that, oh, I've not done this yet. Greater things are coming. Greater things are coming. What did Jesus mean when he said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do? Did he mean that every Christian would do all of these, or that every Christian would do one or two of these? If you don't, you don't believe. Is that what that means? No. It doesn't. I am saying that we all will do these things. I'm not saying that these things can't happen. I dare not say that, because that would be me trying to limit God. Because God at any moment could use us to do any one of those things. So how do we know what we will do? We read in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to the interpretation of tongues. Now, what is this all by? The same Spirit. Well, if Jesus didn't mean that all believers will do miracles like this, like he did, what does he mean? You know, I'm sorry, I skipped an entire scripture here. In the last part of that chapter, verses 29 and 30, it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are we all teachers? Do we all have the power of miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So if Jesus didn't mean that all believers will do the miracles like his, what does he mean when he says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do? Let's look closely. First, if we look back and bring a connection between verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. So the word believe and works occur together in verse 11. Just like they come together in verse 12, Jesus' works are designed to help people believe, right? What is the purpose of the works? It's designed to help people believe. Believe on account of the works. So he's saying if you don't believe the testimony of man, take the works. The testimony of the works that are happening. That's why he says faith without works alone is dead. So we need to know that if verbal testimony is leaving doubts in your mind, look at the works that are happening. Let the works join with my words and lead you to faith. And then in verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. Now put 11 and 12 together. Let the function of the works be the same in both verses. Verse 11, my works function to lead people to faith in me. In verse 12, when you believe in me, I will work in you, and your works, like mine, will lead people to faith. So what is all part of the greater works that we're looking at? The connection between verses 11 and 12 will go something like this. Believe in me on account of my works. Let my works lead you to faith, because whoever believes in me will also do the works that lead people to believe in me. So what we're supposed to be doing is we're supposed to be believing first and foremost in Jesus, right? And so what we've got here is that we need to know that what we do, the works that we have and that Jesus is working through us, will lead people to faith. Do you agree with that? So we need to be aware that everything, the part of the greater works that we're doing will lead people to faith. Here's another support for this. So whatever the specific works are that Jesus has in mind, what defines them here is that they are pointers to Jesus, which help people believe in him. They are a witness along with Jesus' words, his words that lead people to faith. That's what his works do. And he is saying, at least, that that's what believers' works do. Whoever believes in me will do the works I do, the works that point people to faith. If you are a believer in Jesus, that's what your life is. Your works, your life is a display of the trustworthiness of Jesus, the faithfulness of Jesus. If we search for the exact phrase in verse 12, the works that I do occur in one other place in John. John 10:25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. So again, the function of the works in John 10:25 is exactly the same as in John 14. The works are the things I do that bear witness about me. The second part of this text is that in some powerful way, we will all do something greater than the works of Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. So again, it is every believer, not just apostles, not just pastors, elders, charismatic evangelists, whoever believes in me. Greater works than these will he do. If you think greater works means more miraculous, you'd be hard to put exceeding walking on water, feeding the 5,000, as I said earlier, and raising the dead. You'd be hard to really get more miraculous than that, right? You would think. So like I said before, I'm not going to contain God and say there can't be more miraculous, because there can. I believe there can anyway, but our minds just can't really fathom that. So what does it mean? So as far as I know, nobody's done those two of walking on water and feeding 5,000. So how are we going to do greater things? How are we going to do greater things if our minds can't even begin to fathom beyond doing more miraculous than that? John 20, verses 21 and 22, it tells us, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So in John 14, Jesus is saying that his disciples, and we're still his disciples, correct? Not just them, but we're his disciples today, will not only continue his works, but will do greater works because he goes to the Father. And on the way to the Father, he goes to the cross and lays down his life for us, was raised from the dead, ascends to the Father, to where he sends his Holy Spirit. so the disciples can do the works they are called to do. Acts 1:8, here's the knowledge that you need. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem, then beyond to Judea and Samaria, and finally to the farthest places of the earth. So in all things said, Jesus tells us that because we're given to that power is given to us by the Holy Spirit, we will do greater things. So greater things are yet to come. Greater things are yet to come. So we believe, and so we can do the works that He did, but it's not by ourselves. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where it begins to come into context here. How are we going to be able to see and do greater things? By the power of the Holy Spirit. But let me go even beyond that. The third part of this is in verses 13 and 14. It tells us that whatever we ask in His name, that will He do for the glory of the Father, right? So what do we ask? It says, whatever you ask. But wouldn't the better question be, what should we ask? Not what can we ask? What should we ask? I believe it comes down to this. John chapter 5 and 19 and 20 tells us, then Jesus said to them, for sure I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. The Father loves the Son and shows the Son everything He does. The Father will show Him greater works than these. They will surprise you. So how do we know what to ask? Right here it's telling us that the Son does nothing without seeing what the Father is doing. So many times we're told, whatever you ask, sometimes we get selfish in what we want to ask. We put our own agenda in what we want to ask. So the question should be, what should we be asking? And the Scriptures tell us that we need to be asking by what we see the Father doing. What do we see God doing? What do we see that He wants to do in our life and use us to be able to bring other people into the faith? John 8:28, in the second part of that Scripture, He says that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. So we believe we'll do works and greater works by the power of the Holy Spirit. And whatever we ask, and this is where I want to challenge you, that we ask according to what God is doing. To whatever God is doing, whatever He is, how He is moving. Because I don't want my own agenda to get in the way. I don't want my own mindset and thoughts to get in the way. That's the key. Greater things will come by way of the Holy Spirit and by what we ask. But we know what we ask, what to ask, because we do nothing on our own or in our own power, our own knowledge, but we watch what the Father is doing and follow His lead. When this happens, God will do it on our behalf because only He can do it. Then at that point, we're supposed to point to Him. So many times we get in our mind that, okay, I'm going to do the greater works. When in reality, what we need to be doing is focusing on Jesus, focusing on the Father, allowing the Holy Spirit to operate through us, because it's not in my power, but it's in His. And the fact that only He can do it, that's the greater thing. That's the greater thing that's going to be working in us, that we're going to be doing. And what are we supposed to do? All we're supposed to do is say, Wasn't me. It was all the Father. All Him. All we're supposed to be is pointers to go, the glory goes to Him. Because it's nothing that I can do. All I did was believe, receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and I asked by what God is doing. You know what you know what God is doing. You need to be in prayer. You need to be in the Word. You know, be sensitive to what the Spirit's, what He's leading and where He's taking us. We need to know that. And so many times we get all these grand schemes in our head of, okay, this is what needs to happen. This is what needs to happen. Is it what needs to happen? Is this what God has for us? You know, because, you know, I had said before when I talked about, when I preached that first Sunday on plans, purposes, and pursuits, I brought up the fact that just because we've done something for so long, and it's with the best of intentions that maybe we had in our heart, if it's not what God's wanting you to do, if it's not the plan that He has for you, then you're wrong. You're in the wrong place. In the Word that God gave us, a new thing that I did a couple weeks ago, I talked about that when we let go of the former things and the things of the past, then you will see the things that you didn't even realize were there. Like an underground stream that is hidden will come forth and will burst forth out of us like rivers of living water. That's the Word that He gave us. And a new thing is going to be happening. And He's going to be the one doing the new thing. And not just the new thing, but greater things. He's going to be the one doing it. So you got to quit doing things like you've always done them. Let go of past grudges and offenses. They restrict. They restrict. If we're to see greater things, there must be great expectations. What is your part in the greater thing? What is your part? Don't just wait to see what happens. Because sometimes we get all giddy. Well, God's doing something here. And we just sit and wait to see what's going to happen. We don't want to just sit and wait to see what's going to happen. We want to be a part of what happens. Don't be a contributor. Be a consumer. I'm sorry, be a contributor. Be a contributor, not a consumer. Scratch that. Rewind. Okay. What's your part in greater things? Be a contributor, not a consumer. Apply your faith to greater things. Miss Renee, she gave a great word last week. Get your dreams out of the closet. God has given you a dream. And that dream is to be part of something greater than yourself. When I talk about the various gifts from God that I mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, it goes on to say in verse 31, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And what is after that? 1 Corinthians 13. And it talks about love. Greater love is what is part of the greater thing. It's the greatest gift of all, love. John 15 says, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Is Jesus your friend? So many times we look at it as your friends here on earth. But is Jesus your friend? And if He is, are you willing to lay down your life for Him? Really, what it comes down to is we have to understand that the way so many times we get hung up in doing the things that we've done for so long, we get stuck in doing that, even though it's not per se a sin or wrong. But God, so many times as we grow, He has greater things for us to do. How many in here have kids? How many of your kids have always listened to what you've said? Yeah. We all have to go through that. Just like with simple parenting, this is simple parenting, that we start out and we have our kids do certain things because we're trying to teach them and train them, right? And so as they grow, you don't have them do the same thing as they're growing up. Oftentimes you change the method, you change the procedure and how you're having them do things, right? So you tell them, you know, for example, you know, my little one, you know, when she was going through potty training, you know, it was, we gave, you know, we, at one time we gave her pennies, you know, stickers, candy, and all this stuff, you know, and it worked good. We was teaching her that if she does what's right, she's rewarded, right? So now that she's to the point she understands, guess what she still does? She goes, I pottied candy. I want candy, Daddy. I pee-peed in the potty. And I'm now having to go, that's great, but you know what? Things are changing. Because you're not going to keep getting candy because now you know what to do is right. And so it should just be expected of you to do what you're supposed to be doing, right? And so the method changes. You know, if I didn't, then my kid would be in diapers the rest of their life, you know. So in the same context, we have to understand that spiritually, God moves us onto better things, to greater things. He teaches us, and so when we get to the point where we go, okay, I got it, so many times we get stuck in the, hey, I still want the candy. I still want the candy. No, you know, so let's move on because you're maturing and you're growing, so things are going to change. There has to be. Because if we stay in the same thing, there's no growth. There's no change. There has to be change, right? There has to be change. And so many times we're scared of change. So you tell them, and as they're growing, how many times have you told your child, this is what I want you to start doing. This is what we're going to start having happen. And then you get to the point and you expect them to do it, and it doesn't happen. So like I said, how many have kids that have listened to them, to their parents, all the time? I haven't. They have to hear. They have to listen. And so that's the most important part. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying. We need to hear. He's telling us, but we have to hear it. Just like my girl, when I tell her something, she has to really listen. She can hear that I'm speaking, but it's not, I'm not understanding what you're saying. And she just lets it go. And then I say, why did you not do this? I don't know. How many love that answer? I don't know. Why do you do what you do? I don't know. I like the answer. What's my punishment going to be? I don't know. We will see. But we have to listen to what the Spirit is saying. All throughout Revelations is telling us, he who has an ear, let him hear. Now, another interesting thing that I found, I looked up the word greater in the dictionary. And it was defined as this, of relating to or being a city considered together with its populous suburbs. Of relating to or being a region considered to be the rightful homeland of a particular people, particularly when extending beyond the current boundaries of their country. I wasn't expecting that. So greater includes when we are considered together. You see where I'm going? When we're in unity, when we have unity in the Holy Spirit and we go beyond the current boundaries that has kept us from striving for greater things, we will extend beyond what has held us, those boundaries, when we're in unity. That's going to be part of the greater thing. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying. And when we're hearing what the Spirit is saying, we will be in unity. We will see greater things. We will be a part of greater things. You see greater things when you go where He goes. When you say what you hear Him say. When you do what you see Him doing. Greater things will come because our focus is going to be on Him. We have to step out of the programmed responses we've built into our lives and into a life of greater things. We're about to step into a new chapter at Destiny Church International. We're about to step and start this new chapter here. And so, I say to you again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to Destiny Church International. What is he saying? What do we need to do to make changes in our lives to allow him to be the one that we're pointing to so that he gets the glory? So that he does the greater works through us. I would normally say get ready, but the laid-back culture that we live in does exactly that. All right, I'm getting ready. I'm ready to wait and see what happens. That's not getting ready. That's not getting ready. That's the culture and society that we live in. They step back and go, okay, I'm ready to see what happens. Instead of really getting ready and wait for something to happen. And then it's playing catch up with what has already begun and begin to happen. So today I will say to you, hear the Spirit. Get up and move. Begin to run. Begin to speak. Begin to do. Begin to expect with great expectations. Expectations. God is on the move, and we need to move with Him. He is on the move, and we need to move with Him. We need to be sure that we are focusing on the right thing. You want to be a part of greater things? Focus on Jesus. Focus on the things that He's doing, where the Father is taking us. What is He doing? Where is He going? And if we're not hearing and seeing in the Spirit, we're going to miss it. But I know that greater things are happening in Destiny Church International. I know that greater things are going to continue to happen.